responsibility for his children. If he's an employer, if he has a business of his own, he has that responsibility. If he's involved in some kind of ministry in the church, he has that also. So there's five things which a man who is a father has to face in a day's time, depending on his circumstances. And we're not supermen, and yet God looks at us with a kind of interest and desire. He looks at us with mercy and with the attitude of giving to us that which we need to accomplish all those callings, to fulfill our role as fathers. When you think about all that, you begin to realize how high a calling we have as fathers. And when you try and fit together work, worship, and wisdom, and be effective in all those three roles, that's pretty tough. I thought of Melvin this morning when he said that he'd come to class, or was it Myron? I'm not sure. Come to class, not sure what he's going to do because he has the responsibility to teach something and he wasn't sure whether he was adequately prepared to teach. And there's three areas that we're going to look at just briefly, that we have to be effective in those three areas. We really do. That's the call of God for us. One of the things that I think is really important as I view my own life is to establish priority. And that is that if I'm a married man, which I am, then my first priority is with my wife. How I may please my wife. That's the first calling. And if God has blessed my home with children, then my second calling is how can I teach my children? How can I bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that they become vessels of mercy for God? How can I do that? The third calling would be to my brother. I am your brother. You're my brother. I have a responsibility, and these are priorities. I have a responsibility to my brother, how I should relate to my brother. I also have a responsibility how to relate in the church. And I think that as we establish priorities, we begin to gain the understanding that we need. We begin to put the emphasis and our effort where it matters most. And the reason that I believe that we have to establish those priorities is because the Scripture says that if a man is to be a leader in the church, he has to first of all have met the first three criteria. He has to be a faithful husband to his wife. He has to have brought up his children well. He has to have been a man who was not given to strife and conflict. That's a high calling. But as I face that as a man, I get up in the morning, sometimes at 4:30, sometimes at 5, sometimes at 6:30. I don't always get up the same time every morning because I'm a human being, and sometimes I can't make it, frankly. And so I don't always get up as early each morning as I do some mornings. But the times that really bless me are the times that I'm able to get up early enough to sit and meditate and pray unhindered. Because some of my best thoughts and some of the best guidance that I've received for all the responsibilities that God gives to me come in those times. And there's been many times when I was crying out to God that I would have to stop praying and go get my pencil and paper and write down the thought that God gave me, because it was an answer to something that I was looking for. And God gave it to me as I was waiting before Him in prayer. And to me, those are blessed times. That's the beginning of the day. I spend time in meditation as long as and as often as I can, because it's as I understand the Word of God, as God enlightens the Word to me, that I receive richness in my own heart. Here's an example of something that I found recently. And this really blessed me. I was studying in John 14, and Jesus said that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And I found out through study that later on in the chapter he says, if a man love me and keep my commandments, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with that person. Now the beautiful thing was that when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you, a place for you to dwell in, and to me that depicts the character of and the goodness of God. What time did I start? 3 o'clock. When Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you, it depicts to me the lavishness of God towards us as His children. He says, I'm not going to prepare you a shack. I'm going to make you a mansion for you to dwell in. But then he turns around later and he says, now if you love me and your heart is committed to my teaching.
Wisdom. We need to do all three. I wonder how many of you have got hung up on the first one. You work, and you work. And because that work isn't done, you've not got around to the wisdom or the worship. And then it occurred to me that perhaps we wrote our program wrong. Perhaps we should have written worship, wisdom, and work. For if you will worship, you shall have wisdom, and then the work will get done. How often we do it the other way around. We get to working, and we never got beyond the work. Isn't that the way it is? God help us to change the things around. Let's get it. Maybe you write it differently in your lives. I think you should write worship, wisdom, and then work. Appreciate your attention. And the next session begins upstairs at 4 o'clock. You're excused.
That the Lord who is residing, making His mansion in my heart, is delighted. He is pleased with that action. It's not like He's standing over me with a club and saying, get that thing slowed down, quick. But He's grieved when I don't do it. And when I do respond to the promptings of His Spirit, then He's pleased. He's delighted. He loves to dwell in the heart of the people, of a person, of a man who is submitted and committed to His ways. Jesus said, if you love me and you're committed to my ways, we're going to have a mansion in your heart. We're going to dwell there. My Father and I will come and dwell with you. Now that's the kind of richness that I love that God brings to me. And He doesn't bring those kind of revelations every day. And I must say that sometimes it's pretty dry. But not always. And for that I'm very grateful. All right, I move from my time alone with God to the family time with God. This is worship. We have taken the daily Bible. I don't know if many of you are familiar with the daily Bible. It's a Bible that's laid out into daily readings, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and a proverb. And that's really been beneficial for our family because when they get up, when the children all get up, all those that can read sit down and read the same scriptures. We have all read the same scriptures today. And then what we will do is go around the circle and each child will say, what it was in the scripture that really stood out to them, what they comprehended. And you know what? I'm really amazed at the way children, as you make that a continual habit, somebody said, Brother John said something about singing. You need to sing often and make it a habit of your life. And that's the way it is with Bible reading. Because I have seen over the months and years that we have done that, that the children's understanding is beginning to open up. They're beginning to be able to look at scriptures and make logical spiritual conclusions from the things which they read. And to me, that's a delight. To just see them receive those things, and some of them are very simple. But when they bring them, we need to say, now that's really good. I'm really glad that you were able to receive that from the scriptures and commend them because it really is a blessing. And to be able to look into the scriptures and make good sense out of it and to receive an understanding, to me is one of the wonders of the grace of God. All right, so we go from that time. Now we're ready to move off to work. In my work schedule, it's pretty flexible. So sometimes we get to talking. This doesn't happen too often, but sometimes you'll come on a good subject, something that is really profitable in devotions. Or maybe I'll see a need and I feel like I have to, you know, give some greater exposition on it. And of course, the children sort of know when I get settled in to really expound something to them, and they know it's going to take a little while. And so my work schedule is flexible enough that if it takes me an extra 15 minutes or a half an hour, it doesn't really matter. I can get there later. And I'm really grateful for that I don't have to be there right on the minute. And maybe that's irresponsibility. I'm not sure, but I'm not there on the minute every time. But that's how I can work in the worship with my work, because it is flexible. But then there are times when I have to leave even before the children get up. So that's one of the joys of having your own business. You can't always be flexible. Sometimes the things that come up demand your presence and you have to go. But that's sort of how it works out in my home. The last thing, the wisdom. To me, wisdom is the comprehending of God's character. I comprehend God's character. That's where wisdom begins. And I receive it as my own. And as God's character resides in me, and I have a comprehension to whatever extent that is expanded in my own heart, as I receive it as my own, the next thing that God wants me to do is to be able to articulate that to my children, to my wife, to those that I associate with, to those that I work with, to whoever is right close to me. God wants me to share wisdom. And you know, I learned something recently that really blessed me. This man was sharing some of the customs of Bible times, and he said that it used to be that the Jewish men, whenever they got together, and to me this is the way I think that it ought to be, because so many times men get together and they don't have anything to talk about, nothing worthwhile at least. And this blessed me, because those Old Testament Jewish men, when they got together, they would bring either a riddle or a proverb, something from their observation. And Brother Melvin was talking about observations and experimentation. And we don't want to experiment with our children, but we do want to be people who make observations. And when we get together, an example of those of that custom is found in the life of Samson. When he got together there at the wedding, he said, "What is out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness," something like that. He brought a riddle to them, because that was the custom. When men got together, they would present a riddle, and one man would say, "I have a riddle for you brothers," and give it. Or he would come together with a proverb. When men come together, they would bring a proverb and say, "You know, my observations have brought me to this conclusion. What do you think about it?" Now, I think that's exciting, that men would get together to increase their wisdom. And I wondered already whether Solomon's wisdom that he prayed for and God gave, whether God just poured it into his life, or whether he was actually a person who began to look and see. Because Ecclesiastes says, "I've tried everything under the sun." In other words, he was really intent on life. He wanted wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And I believe that it came, at least partly, through his observation. So when we think about worship, God wants to speak to us, to our hearts. He wants us to know that his presence is within us. When it comes to work, make your work be your servant. When it comes to wisdom, be ready to speak. Be ready to share. And God will bless. And may God bless all of you, blessed fathers, because I know the difficulty that it is to be a father. And I commend you for your faithfulness and for your willingness to go ahead and teach at home, because that's just an added dimension. It's an added labor. May God bless you. Going through this
morning, I was thinking how I needed the inspiration. In relation to teaching, I was challenged lately, as we went through Psalm 1 in our family. I'm sorry, it was Psalm 23. We decided we'd look how many times is the word me, my, thou, thy. No, me and my, your pronouns referring to myself. Then we counted how many times the word Lord and thou and thy. And we found that there's more times it refers to me personally than God refers to himself. And I believe in relation to fathers, we may feel snowed under, but he does know our frame, and he does remember that we are dust. When Nebuchadnezzar carried away his captives into Babylon, they were God's people. But God's people had forsaken him. But God did not forget them. In Jeremiah, in chapter 29, he wrote to them a letter. Jeremiah directed them in one certain area that would spell their success. Jeremiah 29:7, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." The same admonition is true to us as fathers. As we seek the peace, the good of our community, the good of our family, the good of those around us, we will find ourselves concentrating and focusing toward God if we are Christians. Simply sustaining life, simply working to sustain our lives will not be sufficient. God wants us to turn our business into a ministry. And that is a rather difficult thing to do. And I'm sharing what I have, not because I'm very experienced, but because God is working with me on these areas. Serving others is where the action line is. Serving others, first of all, in our family, then further. Luke 17 gives us the account of the servant that worked hard, but he wouldn't take credit for it. And in verse 10, he says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." A long, long time, I looked back in my... This is one avenue which you might want to look into. I would encourage you to do it, is to keep a little record of how God is working in your life, and then go back and dig it up and review it, and then bring it out to your family, and you can combine work and wisdom and worship in a very real way. I look back, I think it was year 1985, and I was thinking, how can I be more effective? And the Lord laid this portion of Scripture in my heart, that when I go beyond of what is expected, I am combining work. I am, with work, bringing service into it that will open the door that wisdom can enter in. Again, it takes our focus and the focus of the ones we serve Godward. Now, why am I bringing this into our family? We know that our children watch us. And this is a splendid example for them to see how God is keenly interested in even the nuts and the bolts that we were talking about this morning. Service opens our mind to wisdom. Why do I say that? It's because in James 1, the first part of that chapter, he's talking about wisdom, how to get it. And I believe the key is in the first about three words. It says, James, a servant. A servant heart goes along with a converted heart. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We find rest when we yoke up with Christ. A rested soul can learn wisdom. A way to bring our families into a rest is to open up in, we have found in our worship, daily worship experience. It's one thing to read Bible story after Bible story. It's another thing to learn to share together as a family and say, "I had this victory today," or "I would like to praise my brother or sister, my wife or husband, for something that they did for me, or I have a particular struggle. Would you all pray for me together? And we can help our families to have a rested learning experience to bring these all three together. God works miracles for a faith that is filled with praise. The children of Israel had tail end praise. After it all happened, they could praise and thank God. But God wants us to praise while faith is waiting for sight. Now, the reason I bring this in is in the area of prayer and answers to prayer, in bringing work and wisdom and your teaching ministry together. There's nothing better that I know of than for you to face a crisis, for me, and for your family to be praying together and to see God answer that prayer. That's a whole unit of study all by itself, but it spreads out into all of life. Sometimes we may want to shield our family, our children. We may think that, well, that's too big a problem for them. I personally had the experience where it seemed like I was praying, and I really didn't want to bring it to the family, but a number of times it seemed as if God was holding back that answer till I could share it with the family so they could learn the truth that God hears and answers prayer. It really does work. We have tried it. It works financially. It works for schedules. It works for problems. But we don't want to overburden our families. That's a problem too. But you can teach in action to your family how to pray through your work. And that way, a daily teaching ministry is there to show them how to seek first the kingdom of God. Just the other day, we had an experience like that, where I came home and one of the children came out and they said it was in the area of time. I wasn't expecting you, I think was their response. And I said, well, I prayed about it. And they said, well, we were too. And God had worked it out. 1 Samuel 9 is a good chapter to see how the irritations of work in God's perspective. We can't read the whole chapter. I'd encourage you to do that. It was so interesting. It was just the other night as we read this, how that in Saul's, this was when Saul was out seeking his lost donkeys, and overall, God was managing the whole thing. So it took lost donkeys in Saul's life to free him to meet God. And I never saw it quite in that perspective before. So what lost donkeys is God using in your work? Broken machinery, busted schedules. Maybe it's time for a 10-minute break now to just sit down and talk to your children in front of that broken machinery and tell them how God can fix lives. That's schooling. That's education in God's eyes. As far as schedules, I know what I'm talking about. I had to learn to like schedules. I learned to hate them, and I had to change that. I told our children, I don't want them to say they hate things as far as they hate math or something like that. So that was what God works with me on. Not sure if I had time. I appreciate songs too. I was going to read a couple of songs. I might toward the end then. Praise and work are heavenly companions. We tend to grit our teeth and put our noses to the grindstone when it gets tough. And you know what God says? God says, giving thanks always, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. It's quite a difference. Yes, it gets tough. We all know that. But there's a big difference. And it teaches our children a whole perspective of life. Now, how do you keep from going under? How do you keep on top? I have a few points as a brief burnout escape method. I've got these from an MD, and I'd like to pass them on to you. Number one, use time wisely. Number two, keep priorities straight. Learn time management skills. And under that would be A, to prioritize. You make a list. Number one, number two, and you have an order. And B, concentrate on the task at hand. Eliminate some other things that are constantly those sub-goals we talked about that tend to overrun the major goal. And then C, be decisive. And if you're people like me, you might have a little bit of a problem with that because I tend to be of a merciful nature and I say, well, this could work and this could work. We need to learn to be decisive and yet gentle. The opposite of that is procrastination. Now, Ephesians 5:15, it says we're to walk circumspectly. Another word for that would be accurately. Do you see how our whole life is fit into a math lesson? We as fathers set the stage for learning. And D, delegate. Realize that we can't all do the same. We can't do everything. Sometimes we have to let someone else do it. We have to back off, so to speak. How about relax and rest? In realistic proportions. That's always a battle for all of us, I'm sure. But we must face it. And we need to realize that we are here because God made us. What's your self-worth like? Do you believe that you're important in God's sight? If you don't, how will you portray that to your children? We need to look up that God, Jesus died for me. And that's tremendous. Because if He died for me, that means I was worth His whole life. And watch perfectionistic tendencies. I've heard that perfectionism can be a disease. We can get too perfectionistic. And look again at the true meaning of life. We need to remember that. I would like to read a verse of a song. Teach me thy patience, still with thee, in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong. So I again give you my encouragement. We have gone through times, maybe last year was a harder time in our schooling than we have ever had. But God is faithful. And if God says that homeschooling, home education is worthwhile, then it's got to work, right? So let's keep going.
Well, I pondered this subject quite a bit, work, worship and wisdom. I thought to myself, now, I've got 10 minutes, and I like to speak with the desire and the motivation that people's lives would be changed. And I thought, now, how can that take place in 10 minutes? What can I give to all these men in 10 minutes' time that will change their lives and change the direction, maybe, of their lives? And I thought also, well, I know that I'm a busy man speaking to busy men. I don't think there is anyone in this room that's lacking for things to do. I imagine you probably all have more to get done than you can get done. And you're constantly wondering how you're all going to get it done. And here we are in the midst of that kind of a situation, and God has laid on us And we know that He has laid it on us, the responsibility of work and worship and wisdom. How do you do it? How do you possibly do it? You know, as the years have gone by, me being a father with the children getting older and all of that, I've had to face that question many, many times. How do you get it done? How can you do it all? It seems the more that I live the Christian life, the more that I study, the more that I learn, the more I find out that I need to do it, I wonder, how can I get it all done? But yet, God has called us to these responsibilities, as Brother David has said. And they're very real responsibilities, and they have lasting impression upon our children, and they have eternal value for our lives and for theirs also. It's very important. And I think that we have to come to grips with the reality of what are the true priorities. Yes, there are many good things that we can do, but what are the true and the lasting priorities in this matter of our families? Well, I thought to myself, what can I tell these men? Preparation is one of the greatest keys. You need to be a prepared man. And I thought about that, and I agree with Brother David. I think we need to have time alone with God every morning. And every man of God that I ever studied about that was effectively used by God had a time every morning that he got alone with God, and he got the fire burning in his own soul again. Every single one of them. And the ones that were used the most by God were the ones who most consistently had that time in the morning where they met with their bridegroom and they had sweet fellowship and the fire began to burn in their own soul again. And from meditation upon God's Word, revelation of the Word of God came to their own heart and they had a fresh loaf of bread in their soul that morning. I know that's got to be the best thing that I could say to every one of you today, in these 10 minutes that could change your life more than anything, is for each one of us to learn how to develop that ability. And I know that God gives it, but we must also apply ourselves to it. Just like Brother David said, and I'll give the same testimony. Here you are. It gets dry sometimes. And a lot of times it's dry simply because we have not learned how to apply ourselves to the discipline of getting a fresh loaf of bread again today. There is a fresh loaf of bread there every morning. There is wisdom at the gate of wisdom for us every single morning. And those men, those great men that God used in the years and the days that have gone by, were the ones that learned how to do that. And you think now, but I got so many other things to do. But if you'll solve this one, it will take care of so many others. John Wesley said, some men say, I'm too busy to pray. John Wesley said, I'm too busy not to pray. I've got too many things that I have to get done. I can't afford not to pray. Amen. And we all know it's so. That when we have those times when we're alone with our God and the Spirit of God begins to burn in our heart and it gives us some fresh revelation out of the Word of God, we know it's like pouring oil on the machinery of the whole day. We know that so. And I would just encourage you, in the matter of work and worship and wisdom, we've got to have a well springing up in us, flowing out into everlasting life. We have got to have a well. How can you be what you're supposed to be? At the breakfast table, at the devotion time, after devotions are over, at the lunch table, when you're at your work, when you sit down in the evening with a family, when you set them beside their beds to put them to bed at night, how can you have what you need for all of those times except there be a well of water springing up in you into everlasting life? And that means springing up and splashing out onto everyone else. And what better place to start the splashing than in our own very homes where God has given us children entrusted into our care? I know it's kind of a broken record. It's the same old story. It's the same old truth. But it's one of the most powerful truths that you'll ever grasp. And I guarantee you, any man in this room that will get a hold of this one simple truth Everyone else in this room will know it in 2 years. Everyone else will know it. Because the spiritual life that has got a well bubbling up in it unto everlasting life is going to be the well whereby worship will come. You think about it. You can sing a song at the mealtime, or you can come to your mealtime in the morning in a spirit of worship because you've been alone with your God and call the family to sing a song. And if you are in the spirit of worship and you lead that family in that song, it is going to be a meaningful song for them. You can sit your family down at the breakfast table, and I think we need to make all of our time count. We need to make it count. And we can have a meaningful time at the meal with our family if we've been alone and we've gotten some fresh bread to give to our family. I like the expression the brother used, and I'm not sure how you meant it, Brother Melvin, when you said to shoot from the hip. But I guess I feel that's what being a father is all about. We need to learn how to shoot from the hip, but we need to make sure we have some ammunition there. Shooting from the hip means you're on call all the time. You just never know what's going to happen. You never know when somebody's going to say something at the breakfast table, and there it is. I'm going after it. Somebody said something that relates to something that we were learning 2 days ago, and it's time to teach about it right there while we're sitting down at the breakfast table. But you got to be able to shoot from the hip, which means you've got a well on the inside. And when the well's on the inside and something comes up as a relating point, you can shoot from the hip just like that. That's how teachers stay alive, isn't it? You learn to shoot from the hip. It's a good expression. It simply means you learn to speak on your feet. You learn to just speak when the opportunity arises. You just learn to grab this opportunity and grab this one and make something meaningful out of it. That's what a teacher does, and I truly feel that's what a father does. Devotion time is the same. I think it's good to come to devotions with something on your heart to share with the family, but I also think it's very good to come to devotion ready to change your whole devotion in a minute's notice. If somebody brings something up, if maybe a song is sung and God puts an anointing on that song and you know there's a powerful truth there, lay aside what you had before and just go right on through it. Shoot from the hip. God is calling us to be spiritual men. And through the years, as I've struggled with my responsibilities, as all those things that Brother David said, as I struggled with those responsibilities, many times I was tempted to say, I've got to cut back. I need to leave this go. I need to leave that go. But whenever I get alone with God and I lay the whole thing before Him, He says the same thing to me every time. He says, my son, I'm calling you to a deep walk with me. I'm calling you to a consistent walk. I'm calling you to a walk that is on all the time. If you'll just let these circumstances press you closer into me, I'll be what you need to be. When it's time to lead the family in a song or have devotions or sit down at the mealtime or even take one of your children in the car somewhere, I'll be there. I'll be your strength. I'll be your inspiration. I'll be what you need. I'll give you what you need. Need in the time that you need it. And I have to examine my own life and say, when it's not that way, it's because I've let the fire begin to cool. God bless you all.
I've been challenged. I looked at this subject, work, worship, and wisdom. And I thought, what can I get out of that? I felt so dry. I thought, where can I find something? What do they mean by this? Now, I'm not a homeschooler, but I have the same goals for my children that you do. We do send our children to a parochial school, which we have confidence that do teach them the truth and are a good influence on them. And I remember years ago when we first got saved, my wife and I, when we got saved, we had two girls. And I remember how it weighed upon me. How am I going to teach these children the ways of the truth. How are they going to learn? Because I knew the things I went through in my life until I was, till after I got married. How am I going to get this message across? And along with all this, I thought, but I've seen the examples of so many people I'd seen that were once saved, and somehow they were born again. I heard this, they would testify how they'd been born again and all this, and yet they seemed to get off on something that either in some system or something, you know, it would just take them on down into a road of apostasy where they no longer had that fire burning. And it somehow, even though they professed to be Christians, they still didn't have it. You knew they didn't have it. You knew it just wasn't there anymore. Their actions did not correspond with their words. And so I wondered, you know, I really want to do what's right. I want my children to do what's right. How can I portray that? How can we get this message across to them? And I guess we didn't have a lot of examples. We didn't. Maybe we would have had more if we'd have looked around, but we didn't seem to find, you know, a lot of things we learned, we just learned them by trial and error. That's the way we learned a lot of things. But I know that this thing of having worship together is a very important thing. It was one thing that we were taught after we were become Christians, that we need to have family worship. We used to get up in the mornings. We used to, before we were Christians, we'd have this quick prayer. We'd read it out of a book, and out the door we'd go to our work. After I became a Christian, I found I didn't need the prayer book no more. The next day already, after that I got converted, we put the prayer book away, and I haven't used it since. I didn't need it. I just talked to God, and I appreciate that God is such a God that we can just talk to Him. That through Jesus Christ now the door is open. We can just talk to God, and we can worship Him. We can have a relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. And there was a scripture in Ecclesiastes I'd like to read that might give us a little bit of a hint on this wisdom. Matter of fact, I think we find all three of these work, worship, and wisdom, we find it all in this one verse. In Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, if you think that through, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then he must put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. How many of you have gone out in the woods with a dull chainsaw, and you've wanted to cut some wood? I see one hand. Well, you know what happens. You can sweat. You try to cut down a tree with a dead or a dull chainsaw. You get there and you sweat and you toil and you work. You saw back and forth with the saw while it's gone. You try to put all kinds of pressure on it. You wear yourself out. And then you think, well, if I would have just took time to sharpen my saw, it wouldn't have been half as hard. And I know myself, I'm not good at sharpening a chainsaw. Some people can do it easier than I can. I've never learned just really how to do it right. But I do sharpen them some. But I've learned this, that it pays me to jump in the truck, take that saw even down to the shop, and have it put on have a professional take that chain and sharpen it. And when I get back, I can just go buzz, buzz, buzz. You know, you just go buzzing through those trees, and in no time, you'll have a bunch of wood cut. That's just the way it is in our spiritual life. I find it that way in my own life, that if we take that time, like the brothers was telling us, to We take that time in the morning to get up and meet with God and let Him sharpen us up. That sweet fellowship. Let Him sharpen us up. And then things will go better through the day. It really does. It makes a difference. And I've tried it both ways, and I know that it makes a difference. But I think many times we're living in such a tight schedule. Everybody is so industrious. We're living in such an industrious nation here, and I think it's one of the things that's really, it's a trick of the devil. He's monopolizing our time. He's trying to get us so involved in our work and in everything, in a standard of living going up and up and up and prices going up and all this kind of stuff. It all has something to do with tying us down. And I wonder sometimes, I've pondered this, that maybe we should just take a little advice where it says, back in, is it Colossians? It was Jesus that said this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because I wonder if we just slow down a bit, have a little bit less, we'd have more time. We may not have as much money, but maybe we'd be a lot happier people. Maybe we'd have time to visit those people that need to be visited. Maybe we'd have time to do some of the things that we've always thought we should do. You think of those times and you thought, I really would like to do that. I would like to maybe go out witnessing more. I would really like, but I just don't have the time. And I wonder if sometimes we just don't have our priorities mixed up too much. And I'm a farmer. I milk cows. And I know that it can get hectic on a farm. Farm life can be that way. But it doesn't have to be that way either. But I've found this out. The more you have, the more responsibility you have, the more material things you have, the more cars you have, the more trucks you have, the more tractors you have, all that type of stuff, you've got more responsibility to keep that stuff running if you want to use it. It all has a way to take our mind away from God and monopolize our time, that we don't have it with the children and with our families and with those who really need it. And I'd like to read another scripture. I'm going plenty long here. One more scripture in Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass that as they went, that he entered into a certain village, that was Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Worship. Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She was worshiping him. She was receiving strength from him. She was receiving food for her soul. And he said, it's not going to be taken away from her. I'm not going to ask her to leave my feet to go be cumbered about with the cares. And many times, I'm not saying that we don't have to care about anything. We do need to be careful. But I don't think Jesus was indicating that either. But he said, you're too cumbered about with too many cares. That's what he's saying. And then I thought, but you know, we face reality. You do it. You face it. In the mornings when you get together for worship,
How many times you sit down for worship and the phone rings? Or there's other things happen. The baby cries. You got up too late that morning. You didn't really have time to have your
time with God. We quick get to the table. Everybody has their... We have breakfast together. And, it's time to get to work, you know. And all these things just keep piling in on us. And I know that it can really start out hectic. And it's why I say we need that time. We need to utilize the time, like the other brothers were saying, too. I think that's so important, that we utilize our time right. And I guess I could maybe give this advice. If things don't work out, if your schedules are too tight and you just can't work things in, then we have to do what the telephone man told us recently that we need to do. If we want to find the answer to the problem, we have to use a process of elimination. We have to use a process of elimination. Now, I found this that works for us. It helps me a lot. There's some things you just can't do it all in a day's time. If you make a list of everything that you know that needs to be done, like in your work schedule, things that you know, and I do this quite often, I make a list of everything that should be done that day. Then I start with the most important one. I put number one. And then number two, the next important one. And then I just do that which is most important. Somewhere, something's going to have to stay undone. And I believe that we need to, if we want to keep first things first, and we want to have God first in our life, if that is the top priority in our life, then we just must keep it that way. I mean, we just can't let these other things take over. So, that's wisdom, I think. To learn to control the time that God has given us, and make wise use of it. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.